Kitchen Tune-Up can tunify your kitchen and give you a functional and inviting space in only 1 to 5 days. And many projects are only $99 to $249 a month. Request a free virtual consultation at kitchentuneup.com and get ready to love your kitchen again.
Just about 12 minutes now past 9 o'clock, stepping out to WPHM Morning Show. Caleb in for Paul today. We've been talking about this in the news. We've been talking about this for months now. It's the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission, that voter-proof process to redraw the state's state house, state senate, congressional district maps. Hasn't been the smoothest process in the world, but they finished the first step in drafting those maps, and now they're seeking the public's comments on them. In fact, today at 1 o'clock at what was formerly known as Cobo Center in Detroit, there will be some public hearings on those proposed maps. Joining us right now to talk all about that is the vice chair of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission, MC Rothhorn. Good morning, MC. Welcome to WPHM.
Good morning, Caleb. Thanks for the invitation.
I appreciate the time. This has been a very, very, very busy time for all of those members of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. So what you guys have been doing is drawing maps. And now it's our time to let you know what we think of those maps, right?
You got it.
So today down in Detroit, you'll be hearing these public comments. And my understanding is that there are several different versions of maps that are being considered. So is the goal to hear comments in all these different versions and then maybe narrow it down to just one of each?
So I suppose there will ultimately be a decision and a final vote for one of each of the congressional maps, one of each of the maps that you talked about, right? The congressional, the state house, and the state senate. So we will have three maps, but one of each. But that is sort of the end of the process. Very much in the middle of this process, meaning we started mapping, in July, right? We had public hearings that were started in May and June. So that first round of public hearings where we got public input, we didn't start mapping until July because we wanted input first, and that's what the Constitution requires. So now it's October, and we're going into the second round of public hearings, like you said. We'll start in Detroit. And so now that we've got these draft proposed maps, right, we're still in the middle. We're not going to get anything done until, the end of the year. In terms of a final vote. But what we do anticipate is hearing from people on these three different types of maps, right? The congressional, the state house, and the state senate. And there's 110 districts total in between all those three maps. But we will be hearing the input and getting different versions that different people like. We expect to hear conflicting testimony, because we basically we've got these different versions because we're trying to accommodate a lot of different people, a lot of communities of interest, a lot of legal concerns and frankly, also the process. The people are also concerned about how we're doing it. And like you said, it's been messy. So it's the first time, but this is the new way to do it. And the public input is a crucial part of this process.
I've attended virtually, viewed them online, some of these meetings, especially those meetings where decisions were being made about the district specifically here in our local area. But there seems to be a few different schools of thought here. And I'm just wondering what your school of thought is when it comes to drawing some of these lines. One of them has to do with these communities of interest, basically trying to group communities that are similar to each other together. Maybe suburban communities get grouped with other suburban communities, rural communities get grouped with other rural communities, that sort of thing. There's another consideration when it comes to racial makeup. In fact, trying to get some kind of equity or some kind of balance based on the racial makeup of these proposed districts. And the third consideration is the partisan makeup of these districts. Are one of those more important than the other?
So, excellent question. And because of this, transparent nature of our process, in order to draw fair maps, right, in a transparent way, discussing that right now and during our interview is actually prohibited in our Constitution, right? So I can't give you my own personal opinion, but what I can do is give you the opinion, like how we're actually doing it, right? There's a, right, these seven criteria. So you named some of the three, but the partisan fairness, for example, is actually the fourth criteria, and these are ranked. There are seven criteria, and the first one is equal population and the Voting Rights Act, which has a lot to do with the racial makeup of our districts. And that's legally, federally mandated, but it's in our constitution, our state constitution. And so that's the first criteria, both equal population, each district equal population, and that they will comply with the Voting Rights Act of the United States of America. And then the second criteria is that these districts will be contiguous. The third one is that the states, that these districts will reflect the state's diverse population and communities of interest. So that's the third criteria. Again, a two-part there. The state's diversity, each district will reflect the state's diversity and the communities of interest. And then the fourth one is partisan fairness, or has to do with partisan fairness, and it has a specific legal definition of like how we measure that partisan fairness. And we've got three different measures that we're using. And then the fifth criteria is that there is no advantage or disadvantage to an incumbent or candidate, right? So there's these criteria, and that's how we're doing the mapping. Is we're trying to do this in a systematic way, and it is messy because we're trying to be systematic, and we're doing it for the first time. We have a legal responsibility. We want to get these maps done first, the first time. We want to get them right the first time. And so being, this process has to be systematic and legal, right, because there's ranked criteria. And also in our Constitution is that this is a citizen-driven process, right? We are citizens who have been randomly selected. So there's 13 of us who are, we're plucked out of our lives a little over a year ago and dropped into this commission where we're figuring it out, doing it for the first time with a lot of expert help. And the other citizens, just like us, are figuring it out, right? How to be a part of this process. So it is citizen-driven, and it's also a very legal process. So with that back and forth, right, there's a tension. And so we are navigating that tension as best we can. But we want to basically instill real trust. We want the people to understand that this is the new way to do it. And yes, it's messy. And it's like this is what was done in back rooms before it was done openly and transparently in front of the public. So this messy process has always been done. It's not a linear process. It's not you start one way and then you finish. It's not done by a computer. Yes, computers are used, but no, it's very much a human process. We're talking about people's lives, and we want to hear the people in their lives and the way these maps will allow people to elect candidates of their choice in a political environment. So we understand the gravity, and we understand the process, performing it, doing it, and how we're going to actually get these maps finished and voted on. It is a legal process. It's outlined in our Constitution, and we're gonna get there.
When you guys talk about the voting rights stuff, and we're speaking with MC Rothhorn, who's the vice chair of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission, we look at some of these maps and we start seeing them start taking on kind of funny shapes. I'll take, for instance, in the Detroit area, where you might have had districts that included, neighborhoods and portions of the city of Detroit, but were more largely just included within the city limits. Now we're starting to see, when you ran the racial numbers, now we're starting to see districts reach up into the suburban areas. Is this to balance out that first requirement of making sure that these districts are legal? And could you kind of elaborate on why someone might look at the map and say, these districts look funky, but yet they're legal?
You got it. Yeah. So yes, the answer is yes. It is in order to comply with the racial makeup, and that means the Voting Rights Act. When we move into the suburban area, right, we have an increasingly white population, right, where Detroit is a concentrated Black population, African-American population. And so in order to comply with the Voting Rights Act, we have a Voting Rights Act attorney, a specialist named Bruce Adelson, Mr. Bruce Adelson, and he's done this in a number of states over the years, so we feel really fortunate to have him, and he has advised us based on a political scientist, her name is Dr. Lisa Hanley, she did a racially polarized voting analysis, very scientific. And then what she did is she looked at over the last, I'll say 10 years, but it could be more, because I don't always get my information correct. But I know that she analyzed a number of elections, right, over the last 10 years and maybe more. And what she did was said, okay, what's the threshold that a district in the Detroit area, right, primarily African-American, what was the number of votes that were needed, or the number of people to elect a candidate of choice, right, their candidate of choice? And sometimes we have what that's called, a bellwether election, where there is a minority candidate, and those election results can be interpreted. So what I mean to say is, like, yes, what we did was we with our consultant, Bruce Adelson, who used this specific report from Dr. Lisa Hanley, we got the information that said we should have a threshold of 35% to 40%, sometimes 45% of African-American population in order for that district to elect an African-American candidate, right? Their candidate of choice. That's the threshold we were using. And that's why those districts were drawn with that, because we did not want to pack African-Americans and have wasted votes, essentially using 60% or 70% African-Americans in one district, right? Those votes are wasted. And that's another thing that we've been asked to do is, like, hey, make this fair, make my vote count.
And that's the same issue, is it not, that you're having with the Saginaw Flint area too?
You got it. And we do hear public feedback, and we have heard it, a number of people who are concerned that, right, the threshold of 35%, right, maybe 50% is more comfortable for them. So we hear that fear. And again, we're using data, and we're trying to understand how we are in the middle of this process, right? These maps are draft maps. They are proposed maps, and they're multiple. But we have an opportunity to change and to shift, and we will be talking about these very criteria, right, in concert with the public, and right, recognizing that we may just need to actually disregard or suggest that, hey, we need a little bit more of a cushion, maybe 35%, right? The people are so scared, right? Let's actually push it up a little bit more. So we're going to get some more data. Voter turnout analysis is an important part about what sort of cushion can we offer to help people's fears, alleviate people's fears, address their concerns, and, right, make sure that we're not wasting their vote.
MC Rawthorn is the vice chair of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. They're meeting today in Detroit for public comments on those proposed draft maps, and there's several versions of each one for House, Senate, and Congress, and that's what the MICRC is charged with doing. If someone can't make it down to Detroit, that's listening to this in Port Huron, but are really interested in attending, you can view these online at michigan.gov/MICRC, which is where you can also register to participate in these meetings virtually. That's how you can still participate, even though you don't want to maybe drive or can't drive down to Detroit. You can still participate in these virtually, right, MC?
That's exactly right. We'll be in Lansing tomorrow, and then in Grand Rapids on Friday. So that also means that there's options to participate virtually today, tomorrow, and Friday, not to mention Monday and Tuesday. So,
and of these proposed maps, final question here, MC Rawthorn, you know, you have a lot of proposed maps with these districts, and then there's also a chance, though, that everything gets thrown out and you start from scratch after this, right?
That is very true.
That could, do you see that happening? Is there a chance that could happen and it's almost a fresh start?
Well, as you said before, right, this has been a messy process. It's been systematic, and we're working through it, but I would not be surprised if we had to throw things out and start fresh. Again, it's not off the table.
MC Rawthorn, Vice Chair of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. There's a lot at stake with these maps. We'll be paying close attention as they continue that process of drawing all these different district boundaries. Thanks for your time this morning. And we will be in touch sometime soon again down the road. Thanks again, MC Rawthorn.
You're welcome.
And this
you're
is Caleb.
Welcome. Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah, you're very welcome.